Thanks for downloading the Southwest View podcast. I got a question for you real quick. Could the market's blind spot put your retirement at risk? Investors and advisors are really focused on AI and inflation and conflicting headlines, but what if the real risk to your portfolio is something the market is not seeing? Join my friend Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer, Bulwark Capital Management, for his free Market Blind Spot live webinar coming up July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. Zach is going to expose blind spots investors might be overlooking, maybe you. He's going to talk about threats to portfolios in the months ahead and maybe your portfolio, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is absolutely focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So have your questions answered at Zach's Market Blind Spot webinar, July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. It's live and it's free. All you have to do is register right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast on YouTube and at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Truck 26-111. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Well, Fauci did the thing. He decided to completely nuke in the minds of many any respect that they still held for him. Now, there's going to be people who stand by him. There always are. And I watched this morning as it began. And I will just confess upright and out front that I don't like him. I've said from the very beginning that I believe he is a sociopath. And I believe that that is very, very clear. I believe it's been even more clear as of this morning that he is a sociopath. And sociopaths don't care about other people. They care only for themselves. They consider other people to be objects for their use and their amusement. And in his case, to nominate him for awards for which he was given cash prizes. But he went there with some really high-powered criminal attorneys. Really high-powered. The sort of people you hire if you're in deep trouble. Now, I am very cynical in relation to this. I don't know that anything's going to happen. So, I'm glad to know that the Lord Jesus reigns. I'm glad to know that God delivers perfect justice. And while I don't wish hell upon Fauci, we're not as Christians to do that. We're not. We're to pray for the spiritual captives. That man is a spiritual captive. That man has been captured by a demon of self-interest, a demon of hatred for people, delusions of grandeur. So we're to pray for him. And I take great comfort in the fact that the Fifth Amendment does not apply to people who've been given pardons. More importantly and more permanently, it does not apply in heaven, at the seat of judgment, at the throne of judgment, when he is on his knees. It does not apply. His lawyers won't be there. And he won't need to speak because God knows all. He knows my faults, where I fall short. He knows where you fall short. He knows all the details about Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins and Deborah Birx and Rochelle Walensky and Robert Redfield and Bill Gates and Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric and the CEOs of the pharma companies. Here's part of Fauci's opening statement.
However, given Senator Paul's obvious obsession with calling for my prosecution, his repeated slanderous comments about me, and recently his publicly releasing my unredacted personal diary aimed at embarrassing and intimidating me, the only conclusion I can reach is that the sole reason he is calling me before this committee is to get me to say something, anything, that could vindicate his repeated public pledges that I end up, in his words, quote, behind bars, unquote. Any reasonable person who has followed his unhinged obsession with me would readily come to the same conclusion. Therefore, although it pains me to do so, because of the respect I have for the legislative branch of government and my decades-long record of cooperating with Congress, under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. Thank you.
Was he cooperating with Congress when he ordered his underlings to delete his emails? Oh, yeah, that came out today. Yeah, it was destroying federal records. You know, that's one of the ways he cooperated with Congress. Was he cooperating with Congress when he was telling himself in his private diary, written, "Dear person I love more than anybody in the world, dear me," that the infection fatality rate was 2/10 of 1% to 3/10 of 1%, and then going on TV and saying it was 1,000 times larger? Was that cooperating with Congress when he said it to their faces? Was he cooperating with Congress when he sat there and said, the vaccines have tested to be 98% safe and effective. They are best and only measure to stop the spread, transmission of this terrible flu? Was he cooperating with Congress when Rand Paul asked him how much money he made through patents that he got a piece of the action on from pharmaceutical companies? And, you know, I don't have to tell you that, Senator Paul. You don't know what you're talking about. Cooperating with Congress? So Senator Josh Hawley took the opportunity to test Fauci's pleading the Fifth.
Chairman, well, nothing says honesty like taking the Fifth, huh, Doc? Let's try something. What day of the week is it today?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
What color tie are you wearing?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
What color is the carpet in front of you?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
Let's just get one thing straight. You don't have any rights under the Fifth Amendment because you've been pardoned, as you very well know, as the Supreme Court has been clear for a century and more. Brown versus Walker, 1896. When he has been pardoned, he may not stand upon his privilege. You know that. Your lawyers sitting behind you now shifting nervously in their chairs, they know it. This isn't about the Constitution. This isn't about the law. This is about contempt. Contempt for this body and contempt for the American people. But I think I know why you're doing it. It's because you don't want to answer questions. It's because you did all kinds of terrible things. It's because during the pandemic, you got rich, didn't you? You got rich while people were dying, hundreds of thousands of Americans, over 1 million in the end, and you were getting rich. And not only were you doing that, you were using federal employees with taxpayer money to apply for and solicit cash prizes for you personally. Cash prizes totaling over $1 million. You did all of that during the pandemic, didn't you? That's a question.
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the...
So he continues with this. When Senator Hawley made that statement, he used an interesting word. That word is contempt. Fauci has contempt for you. When Fauci went to public events, he wrote, "Dear Tony, whom I love more than anyone in the world." He didn't say that, but that's what he meant. He was afraid he'd gotten the COVID flu, even though he had been given the magic shots, the mRNA injections, which are not vaccines, never have been, weren't designed to be. He wrote that to himself. He's afraid he got infected. When he had a cardiac infraction, probably as a result of the 6 boosters he says he got, that's suddenly been wiped from the record. It's been redacted. It was in his diary. Senator Ron Johnson confronted Fauci with a huge stack of papers supporting the success of ivermectin.
You know, said there's no evidence. There's no evidence that ivermectin is helpful. On that exact same day, and I've got the studies right here. There was a website that was tracking the random controlled studies. They're, here they are, showing 60-70% efficacy of ivermectin. The same day, and you say there's no evidence, there was all kinds of evidence.
There was all kinds of evidence. There always was. Fauci admitted it. Dear Diary, Fauci said that the only reason that they were airing or that Rand Paul had gotten his diary was to embarrass him. He wasn't writing about affairs or things like that, sexual issues. He was bragging about becoming a celebrity and speaking truth about the COVID flu, where it came from. A lab. He paid to have it created with your money. Senator Johnson grilled Fauci for blocking the use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin.
Loved ones had to go to hospitals, had to sue hospitals. Just, would you try it? So I would want to know, you know, to what extent were you involved in sabotaging hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and did you do that because you knew the only way you get emergency use authorization for these drugs, these experimental gene therapy, was if there was no effective treatment, you couldn't get the emergency use authorization. So is that why you helped sabotage these cheap generic drugs in favor of remdesivir, which, by the way, nurses, are you aware of the fact that nurses called it run, death is near?
That's what a lot of people in the profession call it. Why? Because we've known for a long time it destroys people's kidneys. He did the same thing during the AIDS crisis with AZT, a drug so poisonous that the inventor refused to patent it because he didn't want people making money from it. During that era, Tony Fauci pretended kids could get AIDS by standing in the room with the same sex-attracted person with the HIV virus. That's what he does. Terrifies people and then pushes drugs for money. Senator Moreno got a little spicy when given the opportunity to question Dr. Fauci.
Can you do me a favor in the audience and stand up if during the time of the COVID pandemic, you were called a racist for calling the virus a Wuhan virus or the China virus? If you thought the 6-foot rule was total crap, if you thought the vaccine wasn't something that you should take, if you thought it was outrageous the way the mask policy was rolled out, if you were fired from your job for not taking that vaccine, including members of the military, if you thought closing schools was catastrophically stupid, and that you thought that during these times saying these things made you somehow a lesser human being. Dr. Fauci, can you just turn around and look at the people behind you? You're not willing to do that? That's not a question. It's not a question. To your lawyers, not a question. It's a request. All you have to do is look up from your lawyers and look at the people who were absolutely shamed for saying what we know now to be the truth. You can't even look at them?
The lawyers were whispering in Fauci's ear as to whether he should look at his fellow human beings, criminal defense attorneys. If you need a criminal defense attorney to tell you whether to look at human beings or not, you might be a sociopath. There's more to this. And we're called to be in the world and not of it on this program. And so we will be, but there's much more to this. If you have it in your heart, pray that this low point in Tony Fauci's life is an opportunity for him to understand how far off he is and how much evil has been done through him, and for him to drop to his knees and beg for forgiveness from the Lord Jesus and repent and turn the other way. You'd want someone to do that for you or someone you love. And one of the complicated things about being a Christian is that we are called to love our enemies and to free the captives. And when we come back, we'll be in the world, not of it, as we examine this happening in the world of a massive spiritual captive and, I think, sociopath. He's not a doctor anymore. He's lost that. He's just Tony Fauci, thug. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. Get to the personal notes, our babbling, etc. Next segment. I was in the separate country of Washington State when the lockdowns began. And Fauci's in the news today because he decided to express his contempt for the Congress of the United States by obstructing their investigation. He's got a full and complete auto pen pardon. Josh Hawley made it clear he's not allowed to exercise the Fifth Amendment right, and that he's been fully pardoned. And there's a Supreme Court case that stood, Hawley said, for 100 years or more on this. Fauci brought a bunch of criminal defense attorneys, high-powered, the $5,000 suit variety, who work for people like inside traders and pyramid scheme creators, those sorts. They didn't kill people. I was in Seattle when this all began. The lockdowns and the fever, and we had been forced to sell our house to protect our daughter from the technocratic medical state. And we're in the midst of selling it and got one offer. The couple was so excited. They were moving up from Oregon. He worked at Nike. She worked at a big ad agency that supports Nike. That's how they met. And man, their credit was gorgeous. And they made a big offer day one, plus 20% on the sale of the house. And then both of them lost their jobs. Done. Offer pulled. Happened to a second offer. We got the third one and we were blessed. It was a time when people were still buying houses. And I watched this nation be driven, not fall, be driven into madness by him. And I knew the fatality rate. It didn't take much to figure it out. It happens that there was a PhD in statistics who was a listener to my program who started running the numbers and crunching the numbers and coming back and saying, none of this makes any sense. We're talking about a 99.84% survival rate. And if you drop people who are above the age of 65, who are obese and have six comorbid factors, it's more like a 99.98% survival rate. None of it made any sense. And I watched Fauci shift his tune quite purposely, started out by saying, well, given the cost of cruises to Italy right now, if I was young and relatively healthy, this would be a great time to go to Italy. Young people are not at particular risk from this virus, too. This could be the worst global pandemic. And he shifted on a dime, but not in his diary, not when he was writing Dear Fauci. I mentioned this. I talked to Randy about it. Do we want to play it? We're called to be in the world and not of it. We're called to recognize that the tongue is a two-edged sword. We're called to speak respectfully. I fail at that sometimes. Last segment, I called Tony Fauci a thug. It's name calling. I could say he has thuggish behavior. I stand by that. Senator Moreno did, in fact, get pretty fiery when he had the opportunity to question Fauci.
It was about 6 years ago today that I decided I'm going to give up my businesses, sell them all, run for office, run for the United States Senate. Here I am sitting in front of you 6 years later saying, who the f*** do you think you were for doing that? It is a total disgrace what you did to this country. And if my Democrat colleagues are standing there defending you, I hope the voters of the United States of America watch the clips of every one of you doting on a guy who was more interested in being a celebrity than saving American people.
He went on in statements like that. He's also the gentleman who asked Fauci to turn around and simply acknowledge people in the room who were punished and kicked out of polite society and fired from jobs for expressing their doubts about he who is science himself, itself rather. He refused to look at him, refused to acknowledge him, on apparently on advice of counsel, because they were whispering in his ear. Demons do that. Whisper in ears. I wonder what the first whisper was to Fauci. I wonder what happens to a guy who is kind of a doctor, had the title. He saw patients for a while. What was the approach when the HIV virus, maybe? I'm still not persuaded it's in fact a virus. Many people aren't, particularly same-sex attracted biologists and historians who've looked at this, and Fauci. Maybe it was during that period of time when the demons came to him and said, you could be a very big deal. But people just aren't afraid enough. Maybe if you amped up some fear. Incidentally, there is a thought in public health circles that it's their job to scare us. Otherwise, we won't do what we're told. And during that period of time, he instituted the AZT or nothing policy. So these young men who had so much life ahead of them, so many changes, so many opportunities to come to the Lord Jesus ahead of them. Instead of saying, hey, have you tried not partying all night and not taking stimulants and not going out and doctor shopping so you can be on three or four different antibiotics at a time, so you can kind of protect your body against what you are going to get when you are having sexual relations 3 to 5 to 12 times a day with people you don't know? Have you tried ending that behavior? Have you tried sunshine and vitamin C and vitamin D and ending those behaviors and letting your body recover a little bit because all these antibiotics are killing the probiotics? And have you tried all that? No, he didn't say that. That would be, of course, humiliating. It would stigmatize. So Fauci reached into a magic bag of tricks, found a drug called AZT. As I said, the inventor of AZT refused to patent it because it was killing people. It was poison. That's what he gave to these men. Those scars, do you remember those moles that people with HIV who were veering into AIDS, that they got on their bodies? There are medical historians who say that was AZT, that they got sicker with it, just like with remdesivir. In the case of remdesivir, Fauci helped construct a payment method. You show up at a hospital, you got a cough, they test you for COVID. If it comes back negative, they say, we'll test you again. Then they churn up the cycle rate and the PCR test from maybe they're running 25 cycles. They run it up to 49. Boom. Hey, you've got COVID. We need to admit you. Every step of the way was more money. Positive PCR test, cha-ching. A stay in the hospital, cha-ching. You know, we might need to put you on a ventilator. Cha-ching. I've talked to families whose loved ones had an oxygen level of 98%, in other words, fantastic, and they shoved a ventilator down their throats. Hey, they seem really agitated. We need to give them some anti-agitation drugs, some opioids.
They're agitated because you shoved a ventilator down their throat when they know they didn't need it. They want it out of their throats. Cha-ching, opioids. Wow, they've really taken a downturn. You think? You're giving them painkillers that drive down their blood oxygen level. Drive down their metabolisms. Hey, we better give them remdesivir, cha-ching. Then the big check gets written when they die. Hey, we had a COVID death, pay us. And then in many states, insurance companies didn't have to pay off if it was a COVID death. Hence, you get cases like this woman who was an expert, a house flipper, DIY. She just forgot to tie herself on, working on a home she'd bought in Florida. On one of the tile roofs, and bad winds came in, she fell off, got a horrible concussion, went into a coma, was bleeding from the brain. She never revived. She died. Months later, about 6 months later, her family got a look at the death certificate. They called it COVID. That's what killed her. That's why the insurance company wouldn't pay. But the hospital got paid. Some of the Democrats who attempted to defend the evil done through this spiritual captive named Tony Fauci, who once upon a time was a little boy, who in the eyes of God is still a lost little boy, still a possible prodigal. Democrats tried to defend him. They always talked about his 50-year record. Okay, let's play. Let's do the 50-year record. This was Fauci providing false information about AIDS and that pandemic during the 80s.
Safe from the disease. This brings in the implications that there are other ways, just plain close contact. And given the long incubation period of this disease, we may be starting to see, as we're seeing virtually as the months go by, other groups that can be involved. And seeing it in children is really quite disturbing.
When you say other close contact, give me some examples.
Well, for example, if the close contact of a child is a household contact, perhaps there will be a certain number of cases of individual who are just living with and in close contact with someone with AIDS or at risk of AIDS who does not necessarily have to have intimate sexual contact or share a needle, but just the ordinary close contact that one sees in normal interpersonal relationships. Now
that was never true. That was never true. Not everyone who had sexual relations with someone with HIV ended up with the disease. Certainly not a kid walking through a room or living in a house with someone who had it. That caused parents to fear their kids being around same-sex attracted people. That was hurtful. Oh, we'd love to have you over, Cousin Wayne, but the kids. 50 years of public service. This is from George Witten, who wrote to me, went to my website, thetoddhermanshow.com. You can also use comments at afr.net. We used to refer to Dr. Mengele and or Dr. Kevorkian when we wanted to describe the worst practitioners of medicine. Now Anthony Fauci will be added to that hall of shameful doctors. Indeed. Thank you, George. I don't think he's a doctor anymore. He's just the thuggish Fauci, the Fauci. And made in God's image. Wouldn't it be to God's glory if Fauci turned around? Now, see, he's part of a system, the Fauci. And we're veering into a system that's right north of us in Canada. And this system discounts human life. If you've watched Event 201 and the run-up to the COVID PSYOP, including the studies at Harvard on how to con people into taking the shots and what the masks would do psychologically to people and how certain demographics would respond to wanting to be heroic in taking the shots. Others would be fearful of being socially isolated if they didn't take the shots. If you saw them practice censoring people, you'd understand then that one of the reasons for masks was that so people could wear their obedience on their face and others could be targeted for being bad, bad people. It's part of the system of dehumanizing. And if you want my true and complete opinion, and I could provide you some data to back this up, I think they killed specific people for a specific reason. I think they said, oh, Medicare, Medicaid's getting oversubscribed. Watch this. We'll kill a bunch of the people who are going to cost us a bunch of money. Look at that. People over the age of 80 with six comorbid factors, boom, gone. It's part of the system of dehumanizing. This woman, Rebecca Luna, is ending her life via medically assisted assistance in dying in Canada in 2 weeks. She's interacting with people trying to talk to her about Jesus on her live stream.
I'm gay. Gay and dying. And I am going to do it myself. I will be dying myself because I want to. Okay? And it doesn't matter to you if I believe in Jesus, Christ, God, whatever the f***. It's none of your business. Okay? What is my business is if you're going to take your time out or not. Okay. Or your nap. You seem cranky. Kill an animal, but then you get mad at me because I'm going to do maid. Oh, you're funny.
Have you heard of the main character syndrome? This is where people desire to be the main character of every scene. I think that's a tragic instance. This woman was 49. And she had months and months of fame and infamy and attention that maybe she never got. But she was mocking God up to the point of death. She's now died, by the way, but there's another interaction she had on her live stream.
Wow, what an incredible analogy. Kat wrote, I hope that your death is like being carried to your bedroom when you were a child and fell asleep on the couch during a family party. And I hope you can hear the laughter from the next room. And I started crying when I read that.
Well, since you were mocking God up to that point, I hate to tell you this, but I don't think that's what you got. When we continue, we'll get into the personal notes and the tire babbling and just one more piece about the medical assistance in dying in Canada, which is closely related to the Fauci, Tony Fauci, the spiritual captive and sociopath, who may be going to prison for a year, by the way, or rather jail. If he's convicted of contempt of Congress, that can carry a one-year jail sentence. That would be very, very good for him. We'll continue on The Disciples View.
Thanks for downloading the Disciples View podcast. I got a question for you real quick. Could the market's blind spot put your retirement at risk? Investors and advisors are really focused on AI and inflation and conflicting headlines, but what if the real risk to your portfolio is something the market is not seeing? Join my friend Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer, Bulwark Capital Management, for his free Market Blind Spot live webinar coming up July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. Zach is going to expose blind spots investors might be overlooking, maybe you. He's going to talk about threats to portfolios in the months ahead and maybe your portfolio, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is absolutely focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So have your answer, your questions answered at Zach's Market Blind Spot webinar, July 23rd at 3:30 Pacific. It's live and it's free. All you have to do is register right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast on YouTube and at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed. Future results, Truck 26-111.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Oh, wow. It's been a long time waiting for Fauci to sit in that seat. And, you know, I have this trick I apply sometimes with people like this who've done such loathsome things. And I'll tell you about that in a personal note, because it really works for me. I think that he is responsible for upwards of 20 million deaths. And I'd be happy to make that case. There's a couple of different studies on unexpected, or what they're called, laughably excess deaths since the shots were introduced. And two different methodologies wanted it two different ways. Some of them looked at autopsy results and aggregated the results and brought them together and analyzed them. Another went through the excess death reports of several different countries and mapped that back to the introductions of the shots, and have come out from different directions, coming out with the same, roughly the same number. Globally, the shots killed 20 million people. So it was 17 at the time, but they were still killing people. Weird that they came out to be both about the same numbers. So I think Fauci is the biggest mass murderer in history, truly. And got wealthy doing it. So it would be easy for me to hate him. He also backed the so-called trans madness, so it would be super easy for me to hate him. Instead, I just have this picture of him. I was thinking of that jail cell below the House building. It's there. It can be used for contempt. I guess Rand Paul said they couldn't today. But if they vote him to have been in contempt of the Senate and he is convicted, he could go to jail for a year. I think he'd have to pay $80,000 fine, which is nothing to Fauci. So a couple of quick cleanup items. We were talking about the ultimate conclusion of a corrupt medical system run by guys like Fauci and Francis Collins and Deborah Birx and Ralph Baric and Peter Daszak and Bill Gates and the heads of the pharma companies, Moderna and Pfizer. The ultimate conclusion is this medical assistance in dying in Canada, which was initially aimed at people who had dread diseases from which they'd never recover, then would just be in pain. Then it was expanded to people who had dread diseases that weren't painful. And now they're killing 19 and 20-year-olds who are sad because they're fat. Truly. They're also pushing to kill people. You know, lady came in with some horrible accidents. I think it was either hiking or horse riding accident. Bunch of broken bones. And, well, we don't really have time to fix you up, but what do you say about some assisted suicide? Listen to this angry Canadian man whose wife was murdered by his government for having stage 4 ovarian cancer.
The Canadian government is evil, and Canadian doctors are lying to your face, saying there's no drugs, there's no treatments, there's no options to fix your disease other than to kill yourself with medical assistance in dying, and you believe it. And the doctor turns around to reassure all your friends and family, they're just having the most peaceful death experience. It's all a lie. And guess what? There were treatments. There were options. You just weren't told about them. How do I know? Because they tried to kill my wife. They told her there was no hope. She had stage 4 ovarian cancer, and they left her with nothing. And she was dying for lack of treatment. Her only option was to kill herself. Until, we came to the United States where they saved her life. Again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And here we are today. She is finishing off her last chemotherapy treatment. Third line chemotherapy. This cancer has come back 3 times in just under 3 years. But they keep fighting. They don't give up. They don't take the hope away. They don't offer death. Even right now, they're working on getting her into another new drug trial study to keep saving her life. Over and over again, and again, and again, and again, because they don't do that in Canada. They take everything away from you. You're no good to them. Why should they spend money on you to save your life?
Oh, incidentally, in Canada, you know what skyrocketed? Organ donations. Huh. It's big money in that stuff. This is today's previously planned cleanup item before we got the audio from Tony Fauci taking the fifth, which according to Senator Josh Hawley, he doesn't get to do, given that he's got a full preemptive pardon from the auto pen. And according to Rand Paul, because it's not a trial. It's a Senate investigation. Senator Ron Johnson urged Robert F. Kennedy to look into the cases of Americans being killed by the so-called COVID vaccines.
A memo that is apparently from CBER Director Dr. Prasad in December 2015, where apparently within FDA you're reviewing, I think it was 96 autopsies of child death following the COVID mRNA injection. In that memo, Dr. Prasad writes, "This is a profound revelation. For the first time, the U.S. FDA will acknowledge that COVID-19 vaccines killed American children. Healthy young children who face tremendously low risk of death were coerced at the behest of the Biden administration via school and work mandates to receive a vaccine that could result in death. In many cases, such mandates were harmful. It is difficult to read cases where kids 7 to 16 may be dead as a result of COVID vaccines. Putting these facts together, it is horrifying to consider the U.S. vaccine regulation, including our actions, may have harmed more children than we saved. This requires humility and introspection. It requires oversight." And so I wrote a letter to you and your agency back on December 15th. Of the 10 responses, I got 3 out of 10. No response in terms of the documents I requested. So I'm asking you, please, will you commit to responding fully to my December oversight letter?
You have my 100% commitment.
Good. There's a lot of oversight to be done. I don't know that much is going to happen. I don't know that Fauci is actually going to go to jail. I know that God will take care of all of that. But I do know the more that we surface to the American people as to what's been done to them with the technocratic medical class, the better off we are, because more people will begin questioning, politely, lovingly questioning their doctors. "We would like you to take this vaccine." Awesome. Understand that that's what you'd like. Where is the insert? I will go home and I will read the insert, provide me a copy of it, and when I come back, I'll have some questions about the adverse events, given my specific health profile, and then I'd be glad to discuss this further with you. That would be my approach. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Fauci himself on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
Well, the answer is listen to Bill Gates. Bill's right about a lot of things, and he's at the steep learning curve in global health.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Almost always the case that it's three. We'll start here. The main Senate race where the guy with the Nazi tattoo and the abusive language of women, and he wasn't going to back out of the race, and then he backed out of the race. Remember that guy? And then they had a fake woman in the race who pretended that he was having menstrual bleeding and actually convinced himself he had ovaries. Remember that? So Troy Jackson in Maine tried desperately to rally a crowd with this statement.
"Because we're not from the left, we're not from the right, we're from the bottom, and we are rising."
Yeah, well, people applauded. Oh, yeah, he didn't get a single vote. Maybe because he's not a fake woman or a Nazi. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. It's been more than 3 years since Gavin Newsom announced he was spending $750 million taxpayer dollars on 1,200 tiny homes for the homeless.
"And so what we are doing is we're deploying these 1,200 plus units. Mm-hmm. You can see these units are not just in every case for one individual, multiple individuals in these units. We're hoping to get them constructed in a matter of months, not years. I wanted to say this summer, my staff said press will attack us if we fall short, so we are saying the fall."
Well, that cleaned things up. I'm glad they've got everybody in houses so they can take their drugs in the safety of four walls and some windows. They're still on the beach in the parks. No, I was being facetious. That didn't work. It never will. Not until you actually treat the human beings as human beings, rather than storing them in the streets, restore them. Last soundbite in today's Tire Babbling. This guy, Barack Hussein Obama, back in the day, he had some pretty extreme far-right views.
We all agree on the need to better secure the border and to punish employers who choose to hire illegal immigrants. Yeah. We are a generous and welcoming people here in the United States, but those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law.
Dang. Some scary far-right stuff from Barry Sotero. I'm sorry. Barack Hussein Obama. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Now is the time to do what you're told.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
Oh, that was good, Randy. Give it up for Randy. That was good. Now is the time to do what you're told. I'd like to have him, I hear him be told that in jail. I do not want to go into that cell. Yeah, now is the time to do what you're told. I know, revenge belongs to the Lord. And on that topic, on a personal note, it is insanely easy for people to hate them. It really is, to take a group of people and hate them. And particularly if you've not met them, then it's even easier. It is very difficult, I think, to hate people you get to know. Now, that's not always the case. You know, you can get to know some people and find out, wow, we either have a huge personality conflict or something, I hate them. Now, as Christians, we don't get to do that. We don't get to hate. This is where we need to die to ourselves, put on the Christ mind. I've found, however, when you get time around a group of people and actually make an effort to get to know them, I think it becomes more difficult to hate them, because now you're talking about Julie or Ken or Tony or Melanie or Dwight, you know. Yeah, there's some oddities and I don't agree on some things, but there's some kindness. And then you can see kind of the commonalities. You know, they have kids too and they worry too. Now, I don't think I would be able to like Tony Fauci. But I play this trick with myself, particularly with public figures where I'm just tempted to hate them. And that's what my flesh says. I picture them as spiritual captives. So I'm literally in my mind picturing Tony Fauci in that jail cell below the house, except it's eternity. And there's demons out there and they are poking at him and they're mocking him. And he is in agony, and he always will be. And he's looking us in the eye, and he's screaming, please, please, please help me. And when that doesn't work, I make him a little bit younger in my mind. Maybe a 30-year-old Fauci. But then I see him lying about AIDS and that it can infect kids if they walk through the room. So I get down to this point where was the innocent Fauci prior to really becoming capable of enormous planned out sin? You know, this is a form of grace that God gives us, this grace that he might give a youngster who is not yet of the age of accountability. There's a fancy theological phrase for that I'm blanking on. You guys probably know it. Now I'm picturing him as a 5-year-old. Tony. And 5-year-old Tony has his little boy pants on and his maybe suspenders or something given his age, and maybe a Mork and Mindy t-shirt, and he's crying. He's weeping for mom and dad or for a grown-up to help him. And if you're scared, find the helper. You know, little Tony, if you're afraid, find a helper. Find a grown-up. So I picture him that way. We serve an eternal God who has always existed and always will exist. And so to him, in some ways, we're all five-year-olds. We're in our big boy pants, but we still might have to say, Papa, help. That's a trick I use with myself when I think about people like Fauci, so that maybe I can love them and pray for them in earnest. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.